Chuck. Well, I hate to admit this, but when I would see a teenage boy with his hat on backwards and an earring, I would judge him as unintelligent, antisocial, lazy, a lazy thug. Yeah. That was until our son, our teenage son, started wearing his hat backwards and got an earring. You see, I knew him to be an intelligent, a social, a hardworking, a good-hearted young man. Even though I had been taught not to do it, I was guilty of judging a book by its
cover.
That was well over 20 years ago, but I occasionally find myself doing it again today. So today's message from God's Word is to help me, and maybe you, if it applies to you, that have that same book cover issue. Now, you may not judge people by the way they wear their hat. Maybe for you, it is or has been the color of their skin or the political sign in their yard. If they are rich or if they are poor, if they are skinny or if they are fat. And I'm going to give a quick shout out to the fat people. Our daddy's name was Big Mac, whose wife was created from one of his McRibs, and all their little chicken nuggets grew up to be supersized. That's my problem. It's not that I eat too much. Maybe you judge people by whether or not they attended college, or what kind of car they drive, or what kind of house they live in. Or maybe you judge people by how attractive they are. Like it looks like some people God took extra time with in his beauty shop. And some people look like they got beat with the ugly stick, and the stick broke. That type of thing. Well, people have been judging people by the way they look for forever. And the next few verses in Mark tell how a specific type of people was judged by the way they looked. But Jesus saw way past their cover. Where we are today is Mark chapter 1. And our key verses are 40 to 45. This actually finishes up chapter 1 of Mark. And we only have 15 more chapters to go in this series. So let's see what Mark says in this story, and then we're going to take this story and see how it can apply to our life today. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging him to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." Well, instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who've been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." But the man spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. And as a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. So let me talk about leprosy for a few minutes. And you thought COVID-19 was bad. The CDC, Center for Disease Control website, says this little clip about this. Hansen's disease, also known as leprosy, is an infection caused by a slow-growing bacteria. It can affect the nerves, skin, eyes, lining of the nose. Today, with early diagnosis and treatment, the disease can be cured. However, if left untreated, the damage can result in crippling of the hands and feet, paralysis, and even blindness. There's another website I went to find out a Bible view of leprosy. It's called Answers in Genesis. That's the name of the website, and that's the name of the entity that does a lot of things. If you've never heard of Answers in Genesis, You've probably heard of the Creation Museum in Cincinnati or the Ark Encounter, and those are both part of Answers in Genesis. Well, here's what that website says. Leprosy has terrified humanity since ancient times and was reported as early as 600 BC in India, China, and Egypt. Disease is a constant reminder, the website says, of just how much things have changed since God pronounced a curse on the earth. At first, everything was very good. Remember, that's what God said in Genesis after he created everything. But then Adam's sin brought death and decay into the world. Well, one of the most well-known examples of debilitating disease in this sin-cursed creation is the infectious bacterial agent of leprosy. Leprosy is quite often discussed in the Bible. While its definition in modern times is different from biblical times, there's no doubt that the definitions overlap. And the modern form of the disease still illustrates important spiritual lessons. And then the website finished with this. For many centuries, leprosy was considered a curse of God, often associated with sin. It did not kill, but neither did it seem to end. Instead, it lingered for years, causing the tissues to degenerate and deforming the body. The next few things I have to say about leprosy could make us a little bit queasy, and I'll be careful what all I say. But what I want to do is paint the picture of this man that we just read about who came up to Jesus. You can heal me. You can cleanse me if you want to. I want us to get a better understanding of this isn't just, he didn't just have the flu. Patients with leprosy experienced disfigurement of the skin and bones, twisting of the limbs, and curling of the fingers to form that characteristic claw hand. Facial changes included thickening of the ear and even collapsing of the nose. Patients with advanced leprosy experience a total loss of physical pain. When people cannot sense touch or pain, they injure themselves because they don't have that outside agents, because they don't have those pain receptors telling them something's wrong. So you can just imagine the kinds of things that might have happened to them. In the Bible, lepers were considered unclean. In fact, if a leper was even approaching a crowd at all, unclean, unclean, they'd have to yell out so that way folks would know to avoid them. The man in our key verse today acknowledged to Jesus that he was unclean. And he told Jesus he could make him clean if he wanted to. Well, spiritually, we are all unclean before giving our life over to Christ. But just like the physically unclean leper, Jesus can clean us up too. All we have to do is ask. So there's a couple verses in Psalm chapter 51 that I'm going to refer to. They're just a few verses apart, but I'm going to refer to verse 7 and then verse 10. And then I'll be going to 1 Corinthians. In Psalm 51:7, it says this, "Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean." What a nice, simple statement. That's how God cleanses us, is purifying or cleansing us from our sin, and I'll be clean. And then he goes on to say, "Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow." Snow's pretty white. But to think that God's purification and cleansing can do this. And then in verse 10, skipping down a few verses, the psalmist just says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Create in me a clean heart, O God. It sounds like God has to do some work here. He has to clean up our sins and wash our heart. We can't do that ourselves. Now, Ron, I didn't give you this verse, so I don't know if you can get to Matthew 15:19, or if you just want to hold on, we'll go to 1 Corinthians next. But I will just briefly say Matthew 15:19, talking about this cleansing such, and the heart. That's in Matthew is what it says, from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. The point I'm just trying to make back to the psalm is we need cleansing, and we need cleansing of the heart, because it's from the heart where the Bible tells us that a lot of sin comes from. Sometimes we just need to, we say we just need to change our thinking. Well, that's a good thing to do too. And our thinking should change as well. But it sounds like things start in the heart. And if God can purify me from my sins and wash me and make me whiter than snow and create in me a clean heart, then either instantly or eventually I am not sinning. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11 is some more verses about this idea of being cleansed. And this is in the New Testament, obviously. It says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourself. And now Paul goes into this list of things. He says, don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin, who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. This would be a sad Sunday morning if I were to read those verses, and if that's all the verses there were to read, and then we would go home thinking, man, I have messed up. Because can I tell you that some of the things on that list I have been guilty of, I have indulged in. But the Bible verses don't stop there. Paul's message to these people of Corinth didn't stop there. So after he gave them all that list and saying those, none of those will inherit the kingdom of God, he says this, some of you were, past tense, were like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Because not that we've all committed all these things, and maybe some of you have never committed any of these things, but there's other lists in the Bible. We're probably all guilty of something. The Apostle Paul is describing characteristics of unbelievers in this list. Now listen real carefully to what I'm about to say. Paul is not saying that those who have indulged in these things that he lists are automatically and irrevocably excluded from heaven. Now please listen again real closely. The Christians that Paul is writing to had all kinds of backgrounds, including the ones I just read. They were some of those things that we just listed. Christians, though, can still struggle with evil desires, but they should not continue to practice them. Christians can still struggle with evil desires, but should not practice them. Paul is saying that those Corinthians, they said they were Christians, or even today, folks that say they are Christians, but they persist in these practices with no sign of remorse, they are the ones that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, like many cultures today and over the history of the world, we live in a very permissive society. Christians will overlook some immoral behavior and yet point a judgmental finger at other immoral behavior. Do we agree with that? That Christians will sometimes overlook some immoral behavior, and other times they'll point out other immoral behavior and really make a big deal about that. I think what the message today is that we need to stop judging what we think is right or wrong. Let God's word show us what is right or wrong. Christians cannot participate in or condone any immoral behavior. Now, this was obviously difficult for the people that were living in Corinth 2,000 years ago, just as it's difficult for people living in America today and around the world. Here's the bottom line of a big message I believe God has for us today, especially in our culture today. The Bible is our standard for truth. The Bible's our standard for truth, not culture, not society, not the media, not Hollywood, and catch this one, not the church denomination, not our feelings, our personal feelings. Once again, the Bible is the standard for truth of what is right. So if we are involved in sexual sin or idol worship, God can cleanse us and make us new. That's what the verses are telling us. If we've committed adultery or committing an adultery, practicing homosexuality, God can wash you and make you brand new. Or if we are a thief, a greedy person, a drunkard, or are abusive or cheat people, God can forgive us and make us whiter than snow. And he can do that for anybody. I'm guessing I've got a lot of snow that I'm looking at right now. But I bet out there in the world, we have folks, even some who might be calling themselves Christians. And why? It's because culture has told them what's truth. Society has told them. Hollywood has told them. Maybe even in some cases, the church denomination has told them what is truth. And yet it's not what the Bible says is truth. So this is the world we live in. The bottom line is the choice is up to us. And that's what is referred to as free will. And God has been giving free will since the beginning of time. When he made Adam and Eve, he said, here's all these trees, have at it, but just not this one. And we all know the story of what happened. They ate of the one tree they weren't supposed to. But again, God gave free will. And they chose to do their free will. And yet, they suffered consequences. Wow, God should have told us about that. Well, he did. He said, if you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. And surely they did. Instantly, spiritually, they died. And then eventually, physically, even hundreds of years later, they died. And then there's all other kind of consequences for making the wrong choice. Well, those verses in 1 Corinthians basically say this, and here's the 3 points I wanted to make. What we read in 1 Corinthians, God wants to wash away our sins. He wants to set us apart for special use, and he wants to make us right with God. He wants to wash away our sins. The verse said, you were cleansed. He wants to set us apart for special use, sanctified. You were made holy, the scripture said. And the last one, when he said, you were made right with God, well, that was justification. Justification. The leper in our key verses in Mark kind of come alive in our pandemic world today. You see, COVID-19 has nothing on leprosy. Keeping socially distance wasn't a matter of staying 6 feet apart. It didn't mark the pews like this for lepers. In fact, it was acceptable if you saw a leper approaching you at all. It is okay to pick up rocks and throw it at them to cause them to go away from you, not be close. Lepers lived a life of total isolation and quarantine. There was none of this 10 days, 14 days, and 21 days, and you can get back with the group. And I'm saying all this to help us realize this man that came to Jesus that Mark recorded the story of, he was a leper. He had to deal with this for we don't know how long in his life. How long he had leprosy before he went to Jesus. But this was the kind of life he had. And for the leper, there was no vaccine to look forward to. Hopeless. What a horrible way to live. And really, what a horrible way to die. Well, for the man with leprosy that knelt in front of Jesus, hopelessness, this is the good news, turned to hope in an instant. Jesus not only got close to the man, but the word says he touched him. He not only got close, but he touched him. I think of that that good old church hymn. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened in my heart. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Whole. Perfect. White as snow. Clean. Can you imagine today? Let's just put it in perspective of today with all this COVID-19. Can you imagine in a hospital scene, the doctor is walking over to a patient. The staff is around. The patient's laying in the bed. And the doctor, as he goes into the patient's room, he has no gown on. Oh, my. Well, he doesn't have gloves on. He doesn't have a mask. He isn't wearing a face shield. And he not only walks into the room of this patient who's tested positive for COVID-19, he goes over and shakes his hand. He gives him a hug. He pulls a chair up and sits and talks to him for a while. We would just be, in our little world today with COVID-19 for the last 10 months, we'd go, oh, my gosh. This leper walks up to Jesus and says, you can clean me if you want to. You can cleanse me if you want to. You can heal me if you want to. And what does Jesus do? Does he pick up a rock and throws it at the guy like it was acceptable? Says he touched him. And I don't know if we can, I don't know if I've done a good enough job to help us to see what that picture was like for those people. Well, just know that that God sees what's on the inside and not just what's on the outside. You see, we are a people that only judges, seems to only judge on the outside. But God looks at both. Well, I'm going to have you, whoever wants to get to the piano, we'll sing our closing song here. Just, I'll finish up in the next minute. The outside of the leper was horrific. And so let me just kind of get gross for one last time so we have a good picture of what happened here. The outside of the leper was horrific. There were scabs and open sores. It was ugly. The body looked deformed. The smell of the decaying skin was putrid. Now, as terrible as that sounds, in a way, we are all like lepers before we ask Jesus to come into our heart. Before. You see, I'll put it this way. Sin is ugly. Sin deforms. Sin has a putrid smell. At least that's what sin is like to God. But he is willing not only to touch us, but to die for us. And that's how we are made clean. That's how we are healed. That's how we are made whole. The man with leprosy knelt before Jesus, begging him to be healed. And he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Well, again, I believe I'm looking at clean hearts in this congregation this morning. But here's the thing. There's people out there who have not done this. And so if people would just kneel before Jesus, asking him to heal them of their leprosy of sin, he could do it. And it's just a matter of asking him if he's willing to save and to make a person spiritually clean. And we already know the answer to that, don't we? Of course he's willing. Just like with the leper, he'll be moved with compassion. He'll reach out and touch. Jesus will say, I am willing, and he'll say to that person, be healed, and instantly they will be healed. Instantly, God will have created a clean heart in them. He will have washed them, and they'll be whiter than snow. Well, what is our closing song this morning?
We're going to sing Jesus' name above all names, not one before you.
Okay. Jesus' name above all names, beautiful Savior, Well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me on the inside and outside. I'm willing to be made clean right now. I confess I'm a sinner. I'm truly sorry for my sins. I believe you. I believe in you. And I accept you as my personal Savior. Amen. Amen. Now go and be blessed and be a blessing. Well, Chuck, it's good to see you again.